Times are tough for dictators, rogue states and failing nations. It seems like it is not a good thing to be the head of a country that happens to sit on top of huge oil or gas reserves. Saddam was just the first to go. We find, if we believe the mainstream media, that Iran is continuing to threaten everyone with nuclear weapons, that Venezuela is being led by communists, and that Bolivia is being ruled by Soviet sympathisers, while Little East Timor is about due for a regime change. So what is it that links all these comparatively small and in many ways insignificant nations together? Other than their shared history of imperial colonialism and the pillaging of their wealth by foreigners, ably abetted by foreign trade domestic elites, it seems these countries share a certain attraction to the euro and the socialist goals of equality and equity. The rollback began in mid-2000 when Saddam transferred payments for the Oil for Food program to euros from US dollars. William Clark from the Global Research Center in California, in a 2003 essay, wrote that the reason the US was going to war with Iraq was the, quote, administration's goal of preventing further OPEC momentum towards the euro as an oil transaction currency standard. Claire Foss, in her online journal, noted that the Iraqi switch to the euro had, quote, potentially perilous consequences for the US. If OPEC were to decide to adopt euros only for its oil, then American economic dominance would be over. Saddam was not hated by the US administration for what he was doing to his own people. God knows they had ignored that for years. What really got up their noses was that he changed the way his nation traded and seemed intent on hitching his caboose to the European currency. Indeed, one of the first things the US-supported administration in Iraq did was enshrine the US dollar as the trading currency for all Iraqi foreign exchange transactions. Following hot on the heels of the great American imperial push to secure a revenue stream from the Iraqis, Iran took the first steps in 2004 to set up its own oil trading exchange, a bourse, based on the euro. Dr. Elias Ackley, writing for the Arabic Media Internet Network, observed, quote, Iran does not pose a threat to the United States because of its nuclear projects, its WMD, or its support to terrorist organizations, as the American administration is claiming, but in its attempt to reshape the global economic system by converting it from a petrodollar to a petro-euro system. Such conversion is looked upon as a flagrant declaration of economic war against the US that would flatten the revenues of the American corporations and eventually might cause an economic collapse. Unquote. The strident rhetoric we have been hearing from the top US brass over the last 2 to 3 years about Iran's threat is not, therefore, really based on any alleged threats posed by non-existent WMDs or that nation's plans to develop a domestic nuclear power industry. Rather, it has been Iran's audacity in proceeding with its plans to establish a new trading regime that would effectively lock the US out and thus prevent US multinationals from skimming the cream off Iran's international oil trade. After 4 years of planning, setbacks and political roadblocks, the Iranian euro bourse opened on the 17th of February 2008. Writing in Petroleum World magazine, Gwyn Dyer notes ominously, quote, The US government knows and is deeply alarmed by the danger that the dollar may be losing its status as the world's only reserve currency. Given the huge deficits that plague the US economy, the US dollar's value would collapse if other countries began to see it as just another currency. So the euro must be prevented from emerging as an alternative reserve currency. In practice, that means the Iranian experiment with its euro-dominated oil bourse must be stopped, and the only way to do that is to attack Iran. Unquote. While it is obvious that Iraq and Iran got into strife for not towing the US line, what about the rest of the region? Well, in a little reported retaliation for the US Senate's blocking of a Dubai-based company's bid to buy into US ports in 2006, the United Arab Emirates told the US to go jump and that they would switch 10% of their $23 billion reserves to euros, thus putting a huge dent in the US money markets. While all this is unfolding, south of the border, down Mexico way, some South American governments are also thinking of jumping the good ship US dollar. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela and Evo Morales in Bolivia have both made it clear that they want the OPEC nations to stop trading in dollars and convert to the euro. They are also intent on reshaping their nations' internal economies by renationalizing foreign-owned resource companies and not paying any compensation. Speaking at the Euro Summit in May 2006, Morales told reporters that, quote, "For more than 500 years, our national resources have been pillaged and our primary goods exported. This has to be ended now." And we wonder why the US is calling him and Chavez communists and a danger to the world. Whose world is a question well worth asking. Finally, we come to East Timor. As the poorest nation on earth, with an average income of just over a dollar a day, what threat could they pose and to whom? Quite simply, they have looked beyond Australia and the US because neither our country nor the US will assist them or support their development agenda. Rather, our governments are intent on bleeding them dry. The East Timorese government and its top leaders, all well known to us, made an interesting decision when they penned their independence charter back in 1998 and established the National Council of Timorese Resistance. This political arm of the resistance movement contained all the current players in the so-called crisis they and their people are now experiencing. What I have never heard reported was their stated aim to convert to the euro as their trading currency, in the sure knowledge that it would make investment in their nation more attractive to their Asian neighbours. What was little reported here in Australia was Mari Alkatiri's international tour in September 2005 to drum up Asian investment interest. Little was reported on the visits he made to 20 or more nations who have shown an interest in investing in East Timor's on- and offshore oil and gas fields. What is even worse in the eyes of the multinationals, who are screwing our government, is the East Timorese intention to use the wealth of their resources to alleviate poverty, create jobs and improve education, rather than reinvest it in their money-making but wealth-extracting schemes. Since then, we have seen some very interesting developments in Timor-Leste, but more on this another time. Regime change for our impoverished northern neighbour will probably come, but at the cost of more innocent lives. Like Iraq, Iran, Venezuela and Bolivia, East Timor will only become a failed state if we stand idly by and watch those who would rather it fail succeed in their quest. Do we have the same courage the East Timorese have to dream of a better, more just and equitable society? Or do we only care about those things that supposedly keep us safe from dictators, rogue states and failed nations? The first option is a possibility. The second only perpetuates the lies. I'm Shane Elson. Thanks for listening.